Welcome to another episode of Marketing 101 for Chiropractors,
where we keep you ahead of the curve, attracting more new patients and growing your business. Now, here's your host, Dr. D himself.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Marketing 101. This week's special guest, Noda Hashimoto, and we met last summer and we started using something you guys may have heard of, TrackStat, but he's going to get into the whole nitty-gritty of all this stuff. Thanks for being here. Tell us a little bit about yourself and what got you into chiropractic, and more importantly, what got you into doing TrackStat?
What got me into chiropractic was a head-on car accident. So I was actually going to school to be a dentist. I didn't know what I wanted to be. So, in a Asian family, they'll give you like doctor, lawyer, engineer. So, one of my family friends is a dentist. So my parents says, you should be a dentist. So I was like, that was really the career path for me. And then got in a head-on car accident. At that time, very allopathic. So it's like medications, doing physical therapy helped, but after going for 6 continuous months, I had chronic headache, facial numbness. I couldn't look down for over 20 minutes without neck pain and then burning pain. And I couldn't sit for over 20 minutes and I was 19. So kind of sucked. And then they were going to refer me to an orthopedic surgeon. Knowing what I know now, I know that nothing was going to happen. But, I was like just turned 20 and I was like freaking out a little bit. So then family friend says, hey, you need to go see my doctor. And they suggested a chiropractor, but I had neck and back pain. And I thought chiropractors only worked on low back. That's how much I knew about chiropractic. And I was like, well, what the hell? I'll try that over surgery. And then, within 3 visits, I was 50% better. Within 2 months, my acne went away because I was going to a dermatologist for 5 years. And, he told me that eating a bag of Doritos every day wasn't good for me. Having 1 or 2 Coca-Colas wasn't good for me. Having like all those food wasn't good for me. So, changed my diet, changed my life, went on paleo back then and just decided this is what I wanted to do. Then I looked into chiropractic, went to LACC, which is now SUHS, and then graduated, met my wife there, practiced, had pretty much every kind of practice you could think of. We kind of rocketed quite a bit. I was big into coaching. We actually, I think by our 9th month, cleared 60K was renting 2 rooms for like $500 a month or something like that at the time with no staff. So we were doing pretty good, paid off our student loans within 3 years. And, we had a big weight loss practice. Then we decided that we're going to add medical, made a little bit more money, massive overhead. So we actually made less money doing that. And then decided that we weren't going to listen to our consultants. And we basically did everything that they told us not to do. And we did it our way. And then all of a sudden, it became a profitable practice again. And then as our practice grew, we grew to like 7 providers, like medical, physical therapy, chiropractic, acupuncture. And it just tracking patients and tracking employees got harder and harder and harder. But one of the things that we did is we had a spreadsheet of everyone that had a treatment plan. And we just made sure that everyone that started finished. And if they didn't finish, they discharged on their own or we discharged them. Because if they finish their treatment plan, that helps your visits, helps your stats, helps your cash flow, and they get a better outcome, right? So if you tell them that they need to come in 3 times a week for a month and they come in 4 times, they're not going to get the outcome that you told them to. So you actually get more reviews and better patient outcomes. So we had that. And then I was just frustrated. We had ChiroTouch at the time and, just some reporting in there. And it's just like, we did a newsletter to our patients and I had no way to really segment. It's just like they give you a list of all the people. And I just want to say, I only want to mail it to people that had a visit at least this year and spent $200 or something like that total. And I couldn't do that. I offered them like 10 grand. It's like, you do this thing for me, I'll give you 10 grand. They said, not a chance. So then we hired a developer. That one didn't work out. Hired another developer. That one didn't work out. And then one of my friends at Google, he actually helped me hire the guy that's helped us hire every single other person. And because at that time we were a practice, and then I don't know if you know this about me, but we were doing stem cell seminars for a bunch of docs. We're doing 200 seminars a month through automation. And that's when we hired our first engineer. So the engineer that has been our main guy. So now we have 15 of them, but that was our main guy. And in downtime, that's kind of like when he started working on TrackSet. We didn't even have a name for it back then. We called it the tracker thingy. It's like, then we added a couple key KPIs and then had friends use it, friends of friends use it. And then, you know, like through 2019, I was like, me and my wife were talking about, hey, we should turn this into a business, but we had no time. And it turns out when COVID happened, putting older people in a restaurant 200 times a month was not a good business to go in because I had no idea where I was going to find this time. And then that business went down like this. Then we just went all in, started looking for our second engineer, which I would say took a bit of courage. I would say that I kind of like shit my pants for the first week, just trying to figure out what the hell was going on. And then we just said, screw it. This is a sign from God. We're going for it. And we went all in on it. And, you know, as soon as we found our second person, then we started looking for our third person, and we just, been poured it in. And now it's grown. We have just about 500 offices now, and we're getting about 20 new ones a month. And that's with pretty much no marketing, really.
That's awesome. Yeah. We've used the other guys, you know, and in chiropractic, there's the three now. I always thought there was just two until because of your marketing. And we found you just last summer. I forget where I was at. I was in Orlando for something, a seminar, and there was a TrackStat booth.
National, maybe? Orlando? National or FCA, maybe, probably.
Maybe. Or Remarkable Practice or something like
Remarkable Practice, yes. We're there, too.
Okay, cool. Yeah, there you go. And I went to that, and we just talked. We brought our team there, and my CAs went to the booth and came back to me like, listen, Dr. D, everything that we have to track on spreadsheets, like these guys do. I'm like, if you think it's good, go for it. You run the front desk, not me. And if it's better reporting. So we haven't looked back. We've switched you guys last summer. We haven't looked back. It does everything. It's great. It's absolutely fantastic. So all of you guys that are out there, and if you haven't, I mean, my PSA for this is like, if you're not doing anything, you need to do something, because I coach chiropractors. It's what I do on the side here for scaling and growing through marketing. And if we don't report and don't keep track of our stats, how do we know where to put the next dollar to what and to what marketing and who to attract? And are we getting people that actually close care plans, that follow through with care plans? Are the care plans we're doing that we're bundling with these other things that we do, maybe medical, or is it even worth it? Is it bringing in? So that's where the next step is into that. And if you haven't had a software that does this, look to TrackStat first for sure.
Yeah, it's just,
no, I will show you why.
You hit the nail on the head. Like, you know, like just yesterday I was on with a client. They're like busy being busy. And I just created, they do a lot of insurances. And I just created a head-to-head report of various insurances, like how many visits, how many collections, how many billings, what is your dollar per visit average, what is the percentage of your revenue from this insurance, and what is the percentage of your visits. We just kind of laid it out. And he's filling up his schedule with people that are paying him like $19 a visit. And then there's all these other ones that are paying like $45 to like $50-something dollars a visit. And I was like, you're wasting time. You just got to get rid of that. Right. Or like something that you can't do is you could just say, you know, just offer visits to those people with like Medicaid or whatever and just say, hey, we're only going to see you between 11 and 3. Right? Take those hard to fill slots and, you know, like have them fill those ones. But, and I'm not a compliance attorney, but from what I've been told from other clients, that's what they've been doing successfully. But it's, I understand that we want to serve people, but like, you got to look at like, how much does it cost you guys to serve people?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And then if you have better margin, you have a better price elasticity. Now you can afford to spend more money to acquire a new client. You could buy a new computer. If your front desk says, hey, this thing's too slow, you could just go on Amazon and buy a new one. You could afford to bonus them more. You could pay them more. You could hire better people. But if you don't work on your profitability now, especially with inflation kicking in, it's going to kick you hard. And if you wait too long, you're going to be in a position where you can't hire a coach like you. You can't invest in marketing. You can't invest in a software like ours because it's too late at that point.
So true. It's so true. Yeah. You got to be on top of this. And many chiropractors, I mean, it's just part of it. We weren't taught. We're excited to go to school. We graduate, we hit the ground running, hopefully, and we know nothing about business, and we run business very amateur, like where it's like total gross revenue, total expenditures, and then that's the profit. But there's so many little intricacies to a business and all the different departments. And because we wear all the hats at the beginning, we feel like it's just one big thing. A lot of doctors have a hard time calling themselves a CEO. That's the first kind of mindset that we try and teach chiropractors and service providers, is that you have to learn how to be a CEO. And that can sometimes be very painful, or it can be a little bit of a shift. Some people embrace it right away, but they never thought of themselves as a CEO. But when you define what a CEO is, they're like, oh yeah, I am the chief executive officer of every decision that happens in this business. And that's really important. But so then if you are, what's the numbers for your cleaning? What's the numbers for the cost per person that puts their face on a headrest table? What is, you know, and then you start asking these questions like, I don't know. What's your CVA? What's your PVA? What's your, and then they're like, what are these PVAs? What are these VAs? I'm like, I will let you know. I will teach you. But when you have the data there where you can pull anytime from week to week, month to month, year to year, it really gives you different eagle eye views on your business. And that's where we sit back and we've really fine tuned and we stopped grinding. We felt like we were grinding. We're just trying to increase volume. And we're like, there's got to be a better way. And the shift for us with TrackStat was like, let's just treat our people better. The ones that are already here, better, and not stop. We're always accumulating or trying to go through marketing, but let's treat these people better to do little things like increase CVA, increase PVA. And just really all that means is increasing your value to your community. And it's really shifted a whole thing. We don't have to add more people, more staff, no nothing. And we're just seeing the increase in growth in our practice too, which has been great.
Yeah. No, there's a lot of things that you could do. Like, referable content is something that I like to teach, and then like a patient journey, just like you teach in marketing. So like, you know, like I say, our better clients do all the things that we recommend, and our not as good clients don't do those things. But like, just map out your ideal patient journey. What happens before they get there? What happens when they get there on the first visit, second visit, third visit? And I'm not saying you bombard them with a text message every single visit, but like maybe it's a more impactful visit. Like I had a call with a client and he's seen his numbers dropping with like obviously like inflation and all this stuff going, so we ran our essentially patient drop-off analysis, which is a milestone report, and then we just mapped out, like, he's so focused on like the 12th and 24th visit, and then in the last year he's having most of the patients drop out by like the sixth visit, so and he's putting a lot of effort in 12 and 24, and I think there was only 5% of the people making it to the 24th visit. And it was like 10 or maybe 15% of the people making the 12th visit. So I was like, you need to take that re-exam and move it up closer to like maybe visit 5 or 6. And then just more impactful question maybe on the third visit. So like something that I used to ask people is like, hey, Dr. D, have you ever taken an antibiotic before? And he was like, yes. I was like, okay, well, what do you think happens if you stop that early? And it's like, well, it'll come back and it'll be worse. It's like, okay. So we just started on this treatment plan because you went over that on the second visit, like just reinforcing the value. Is like, if we stop it too early before you fix the problem, then it's going to come back again. So it's just more impactful questions like that, referable content. Like if you look at social media, like people will share videos and content because of the virality. So you can create a video that would get texted out to patients and make it easy for them to refer. It could be like, if you know someone that has headaches, please share this video with them. And then you go into your spiel about how you help headaches and migraines. And then you could actually even put a link in there from TrackStat where the lead can actually schedule an appointment on their own, create themselves as a patient, schedule an appointment and go right in the system and get all the paperwork. So yeah. Like mapping out the patient journey, mapping out who gets recalled, but like, it's TrackStat because you're tracking stats, but you're tracking patients, and you're also tracking employee productivity. And then most people are paying for an appointment reminder system already, and the cost of ours is going to be probably the cost of that. So you get your spreadsheets, your stats, and all your reviews, online scheduling, and things like that. So,
yeah, all in one, which has been great. Awesome. So any tips of advice for, you know, we talk about startups a lot because, I mean, chiropractors trying to start up have the most questions. But what about people who've been in practice for a while and are just, I say this sometimes when I'm lazy. I'm like, I'm an old dog. No new tricks, please. I don't want to learn anything new. But it's not a good thing to say, because sometimes the new thing can really just drive your practice, your business, your even just your anxiety down, because you can delegate better. What's some tips for like people that have been into practice that may feel a little chaotic or don't even know that their stats are chaotic? They don't even know their stats.
I think, you know, like my mentor always taught me, like, how to eat an elephant one bite at a time. So it's overwhelming when you try to fix everything. So like when I try to help people, so for us, we're focused on obviously software and automation. So we just say, let's take your repetitive low value tasks and figure out how to automate that with TrackStep. That's usually it. And sometimes we'll refer them to like a VA service. So like we'll work with like some VA services. We get nothing out of it, but like, it's like, okay, this is a repetitive low value task. You teach them how to do this one thing and they could just do that thing over and over again. And it could be something unrelated to us, like insurance verification, but like following up with leads. And then like we're actually, speaking about marketing, like right now we're actually working on a Go High Level integration, which for any of your clients, they're probably using Go High Level and they don't even know it because it's a white level marketing software. And maybe by the time the podcast is out, it actually might be done, because like we started on it 2 weeks ago and it's a pretty simple integration, but like getting them to follow up with that. But like with an old dog, new tricks, like, yes, they don't want to do that, but eventually they may want to sell their practice. So the new person wants to buy a practice with systems, or maybe you just want more free time. And I understand that some people say, well, Mary does this, and if we take this away from Mary, she won't have a job anymore. It's like, well, Mary probably has a long list of other things to do that she never gets to do. So if we just start automating all these other things, Mary might be able to do her job better. Truth. Mary might be less stressed.
Truth. Yeah, we were just talking about that, selling your practice and the value that's there, and the old school thinking of asset versus goodwill always gets you into trouble, because chiropractic offices are mainly goodwill. By the time you sell your practice, you got old tables, old stuff, not worth anything. I remember buying my first practice and the doctor was in Calgary and he was going back to Hong Kong. He was retiring. He was all excited about retiring. And my bank was like, dude, there's nothing here. Like, I can't give you any money. I'm like, I know, but we want to buy it. And so he came back and he was putting like the plastic plants in the corners. Like he was like trying to add up everything, the pencils, like overinflating it. It's like, that plant's like $150. I'm like, dude, that's like $14. I get Home Goods. Like, no, it's not. And he was just trying to inflate his practice to get what he was. Yeah, the goodwill was there and I knew it was there and I wanted it. But it was so funny to see that. I'm like, I am not ending up in that position in 30 years. Like that's for sure. So the things I was giving, like this, like you said, is your email list. I mean, this, you know, your demographics is an asset. That is, the longer, the bigger the list is, it's very valuable to your practice, and the systems and the procedures and the technology and the automations and the innovation that's in there is all asset. It's asset. You can put a number on that. So then your goodwill is just gravy on top that actually gets you closer to your asking fair market value, like price.
Franchise, right? People could sell like a franchise because it comes with systems and protocols, right?
That's right.
SOPs. And it's, yeah, like it's just going to make your business easier. And you might get to a point where you're like, hell, I might not want to sell it. It's kind of like, you know, like sometimes like you go to sell a car and like you'll get it like cleaned up in detail. It's like, dang, man. This thing's looking pretty dang nice, but I already decided I'm getting a new one.
Right.
So like you might set it up to a point where you might decide to just keep your business because you've added so many systems in there and you freed up so much time that it's like, you know what? It's a cash flowing asset. I'm going to just keep it.
Yeah. What's the best way for people to get a hold of you or look into TrackStat? Do they just go to the website?
Well, like I'm assuming you're going to have a website here and there. So like if they go to TrackStat.org, they get a click watch demo. There's a quick little video that explains it. If they want a longer demo, they could they'll get an email about that and they could request that. And if they just schedule a Zoom, they could just schedule a Zoom. We'll go over a specific use case if they have a couple questions. And if they want to do a free trial of it, that's really the best way to see the value, because they're going to see your patient data and tracks that. And you'll see where your gaps are, where your opportunities are.
Great. Yeah. If you guys have any other questions, just DM me. I've been using it for a while. I can answer the basics for you guys too. So that's great. Awesome. Thanks for doing this. This is so great. I mean, the value of data is so important. Don't overlook this, guys. I mean, and you got access to Dr. Hashimoto, you got access to TrackStat, you got access to me, you got access to just growing your practice. It takes a little bit of strategy. And I like how you said, my coaches and my people in the past, every good business entrepreneur has used coaches to help them guide. And once they're burnt out and no good anymore, you fire them and do your own thing, right? And learn it the hard way. So that's great. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Thanks for tuning in. Make sure to subscribe, like, share, and leave a rating. It helps get our podcast out to more listeners. Also, join Marketing 101 for Chiropractors on Facebook or visit us at EnricoD.com for more information on growing and scaling your business.